This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Father, we thank you for your presence. Even for those at home now, God, or maybe somewhere else in the office, we thank you for your presence. And we thank you that you are a relational God who speaks to us. You see us. You hear us and you invite us to partner with you. And this morning, God, we say yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dolph. Can we thank the worship team, the sound people, Mackie at the back, Matt. Amen. We really value what you do. Thank you very much. You make a lot possible. This morning, I'm very honored to invite two friends forward that we know well. So when I met Bradley, was it 11 years ago? I met Bradley 11 years ago. You're welcome to come forward so long. he was still single. And Bradley was coming out of a place where he met Christ again, and the Lord brought him back from a very skew path. And Bradley, if you don't mind me saying that, you were a bit more loskop than you are today. A bit more. He says a lot, yes. And it's amazing to me to see what God has started in you, that He is completing you. And Carolyn, so I never knew you before Bradley. But it's amazing the gift that you are to the church. So Bradley and Carolyn have been in this church and as small group leaders, as ushers, as helpers, as deacons, as many things and many roles for a long time. Went with me on a mission twice and was amazing. But Bradley and Carolyn are serving the homeless people in Belleville. They are heading up the Church for the Homeless, or Church in Central Belleville. And they are doing an exceptional job. And I just wanted them to say something, to give feedback of what God is doing in and through them. Thank you so much, Bradley, Carolyn.
Cool. Wow. Thank you, Rush. Camera. Oh, it's such a privilege to be here this morning. And yeah, before anything else, that is Shofar Urban. And then my wife is just going to give some feedback with regards to that.
Yeah, so at the beginning of this year, we had the privilege to take over from Barney and Anushka. So we firstly just want to really honor them and thank them for all that they had sown into Shofar Urban over the past 2 years. And we've been able to just take over the keys and take over the role from them and really be able to run with it because of the foundation that they and the other couples, Kudnay and Konrad and Susel and Philip, who'd been there before us. So it's really been an easy job for us to take over because of that amazing foundation, and also because of Dear Vault, who has just been consistently there for years and years. We have so much to testify. We could talk all morning, but we're going to try and keep it short. Firstly, we just want to, we started and we were so excited to have our first week of church, and then lockdown levels and regulations changed like they keep doing. So we started the year with just giving takeaway meals. A lot of our families, people who come are dependent on that as their only Sunday meal. But we've been rolling with the lockdown changes, making sure we keep connecting with our community despite whatever the laws and the regulations are changing. And then the beginning of the year also brought an exciting start of big school for Tyreek. Tyreek is really an urban child. His parents were the first couple to get married at Urban, and he started grade one this year, and we could bless him. So thank you to everyone's generosity. We could bless him with all that he needed for starting grade one this year. Yeah, and then we've also got some more testimonies to tell about. We've had some of our congregation members find employment opportunities. Bulalani had been part of Mess's Grow program for a while. He's been permanently employed with VR Sid as a driver. Yaku also, he approached us with a business plan drawn up. We were very impressed, and this man said, no, he doesn't want to be dependent on handouts. He wants to do something for himself, and we could assist him with a microloan. We could get him a waterless car wash starter kit, and he's now gradually starting his own business, so we praise God for that. Yeah, and then really a highlight of the last 6 months is we had 7 family members at Urban make the decision to get baptized, and we really just seeing God's faithfulness. We've been speaking about what it means to follow Christ, what it means to take the next steps in that relationship with Him, and we are very excited to see what God is doing and still doing in the lives of our community.
Cool, and next slide, please. So this is UGOD. So UGOD was faithful throughout 2 leaderships. So he was doing our sound. And then Ugod approached me and he's like, Bradley, I'm trying to get my life sorted, but I need help. And then he was faithful in coming to me and he said, I need to go to rehab. I have a problem with substance. Ugod was, we helped him to get into rehab. God made a way in April. He's doing very well, as you can see. God's restored his relationship with him and his mom, his brother, and that's it. And that is Ugod going into rehab. Today, when you look at Ugod, you won't see that's the same person that went in there. That's just how God is. He's doing amazing stuff. And that is our youth. The youth came to serve us at Urban. It was such a special time. They really poured their hearts out into the people. The people in our family just so much enjoyed it. So thank you so much to our youth. We wouldn't have done it without you guys. And then finally, so we've been really trusting God, and God's been speaking to us about the next steps. What is the next step that the people need? How we can help our family members to take the next step. And my beautiful wife has made this amazing board with all our partners that we have. You'll see there on its mess, one of our big partners that we do partner with. And so basically the board tells you how to go from next step, going through safe space, through grow, from that into clinical, into whatever help there is out there in the Belleville Central that we have our partners with. So that is what's happening. Next slide, please. And then we have our family day. So in one of our mentor sessions, now with Ross Hospital, so how does the kingdom of God look? And I thought about it, and then I just felt God saying, kingdom of God is like when we share a meal together of different races and different nations, different cultures and different social backgrounds, sharing a meal together. So we had our family day. The day before that, we had our maintenance day where God's given us this building. If you would like to find out more or learn about that, we'll be at the board afterwards. But God's really blessed us with this amazing family, and on top, there is our family, and we all shared a meal together, and we're updating our photos of our family in church. So, yeah, that is the family that we have there. Next slide, please. And then we wouldn't have been able to come here today if it wasn't for our amazing group of volunteers and team that we have supporting us. So we just want to thank each one of you, every life group member who came and served for this past 6 months. Thank you so much. Thank you for pouring your heart, and thank you for serving selflessly. Yeah, thank you so much. And then what's the space for what's coming the next few 6 months? So we are currently looking at updating our family photos. We are looking at the clothing bank. So, and then from there, we're going to looking at partnering with Santa Crawl, where we're doing about a job readiness. And yeah, that's all because of each one of you sitting here that has made it possible. So thank you. Thank you to each and everyone. For more information afterwards, please find us at the board. We will be there, and we would love to share a little bit more with you. Thank you, Rosh.
So trots op julle. Julle doen goed hoor. Well done. Thank you very much. So you'll see the new board that we put up there just next to the stairs with updates and details of what's happening at the urban venue. If you see anything looking pretty in church, it's because Nicole works here. Nicole makes everything pretty. Yeah. This morning I'm going to talk, so this wasn't planned to be like this, but it works out perfectly. We're working through the book of Philippians, and sometimes, I find this often in conversations, sometimes a normal Christian working at APSA, working at Pick and Pay, working at a school or a mom at home, sometimes finds it difficult to relate himself or herself as a Christian if you read the biblical account, if you read through the book of Acts, or if you read the book of Revelation, or even some of the Old Testament texts. It's sometimes difficult to relate because, I mean, the giants that we read about in the Bible, if you read about Paul and if you read through the book of Philippians, you open up and you read about him being imprisoned, beaten so many times, and sitting in prison thinking, yes, I'm living the life for Jesus now. This is amazing. And you look at yourself with your cappuccino in your office, your oak desk, and you get in your car and drive, and it's difficult to relate. Like, am I a real Christian? Am I a good Christian? Because my life seems slightly more comfortable than Paul's life. And you sort of figure out now, maybe I should go to India and scream Jesus' name as we walk through, I don't know, walk through the Calcutta during a feast and allow yourself to be burnt at a stake, you know? It's like, it feels like maybe this is worth something, but am what I doing worthy? You know, is it significant enough? Is it good? You know, see what he's done for me. See what Paul did. See what Peter did. See what John did. See what the disciples did. Read through the biblical, read through Fox's Book of Martyrs. Read any missional account of any great significant missionary during the ages. And you sort of struggle to relate your life behind your desk at home, warmly dressed, heater on because it's cold, drinking your coffee and doing your tax work for, I don't know, PSG or something. It's difficult to relate. I don't know if you can relate to that. So in the conversations, I pick it up a lot, and even myself reading and thinking, yes, God, I left my job as an engineer working in the church, but to be blunt, I'm loving this. This lekker for me. This is significant. And I know a part of me says, but this must be lekker for me. I mean, if this wasn't lekker for me, then, you know. But I'm doing this and I'm loving this. And it's difficult for me to relate to, you know, reading the accounts. And I think a part of it's because of the skewed expectations and the wrong thinking about what it means to be a Christ follower at times. And I'd like us just to take a look at Paul in this letter of him writing from prison, being chained literally to a guard, not being able to look after himself, not being able to feed himself, literally being dependent on God's grace every single day. And I'd like us just to read this text, and I want you to evaluate your life for Christ, and specifically this morning, your gifts, your contribution, your partnership in the gospel, because I think that's what we sometimes miss. Being able to see my partnership in the gospel, because how am I partnering with the gospel while I'm doing taxes? This is the second time this morning that happened during our reflective service. We also had some voices. Because one of the children picked up the roaming mic and we didn't know it and was rapping while we were having a reflective service. Anyway, it was someone thought they had a word from God, and maybe it was. Philippians chapter 1. And I really want you to bring yourself to the text this morning and see Paul writing this to the church. I thank my God in all my remembrances of you. He's writing to the church in Philippi, a church which we said many times, wealthy church, relatively wealthy compared to the other churches, the first European church, the first church that Paul prayed. Paul went there because he had a vision from a man from Macedonia and said, please come over, tell us the good news. And he went over. And there, the first man that became a convert was a woman, Lydia. And she was a wealthy businesswoman in colored dyes and clothing industry. And thereafter, there was a crazy demon-possessed lady who got the demons cast out of her instantaneously. So two women converted, the first people in Europe. And then there was some confrontation. Some others believed he was thrown in jail. You know the story. While he was worshiping God, Paul and Silas in prison, you know, God was enjoying it so much. Someone once said that he was tapping with his foot on the earth and all of the earth shook. And everyone was delivered and came out, and the whole family of the prison warden came to salvation because he could not believe someone not running away. How is this man still here? And they all got baptized and saved. And we've got some other accounts of that as well. But then this was the community that Paul loved, and he was there for a brief period. He was beaten, flogged, and chased outside the city. So a small community of believers remained behind. And somehow Paul is saying that you are the only community from the very beginning that understood something about partnership. And you're the only community that provided financially for me, prayed for me constantly, and sent me gifts time and time again because you're so appreciative of what God is doing in you that you want to pay it forward. It was a gift for him. It was something he's saying, you're amazing. And now he sits 10 years later in prison, and there was a period, you'll see in the text, where they did not partner with him, and they, although they liked him, they didn't act it on that for a season. But now they sent Epaphroditus to him, Epaphroditus. He went to them in Europe, and he took a gift from the church. Anyway, so the reason why we're reading this text is because Epaphroditus came to Philippi, and because Paul sent Epaphroditus back. And who was this man? Because he's the reason why this letter exists. By the way, he's also the hand by which Ephesus, the Ephesians, and the Colossians also received their letters. So he's the same courier guy. It's just a servant, just a man who ran. I thank my God, Paul says, in all my remembrance of you, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And through your prayers and the help of the Spirit, I know I'll be delivered, he says. I rejoice in the Lord greatly now that at length you have revived your concern for me. It was kind of you to share in my trouble. That means to associate, identify with my troubles, and actually help me in practical ways by sending a friend and a gift. No church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. I'm well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent me. And then let's read about Epaphroditus in chapter 2. I've thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and my fellow worker and the fellow soldier, your messenger and the minister of my need. When you read Paul using so many descriptive words for a man, don't run over it, because you don't see him doing this. Just before this, he writes about Timothy, his right-hand man, and he doesn't use these words. So just stop for a moment. Practical servant guy. My brother in Christ, or true brother in Christ, some translation says, my fellow worker, my fellow soldier, your messenger, and the minister in my need. Indeed, Epaphroditus was ill, near to death, but God had mercy on him. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. And you'll see the line that I underlined there. So in my reading in the last 2 weeks, reading through the letter time and time again, I for three or four times, I couldn't get past the end of chapter 2, that line. I couldn't get past that line. I couldn't get past the fact that when Paul writes about this man, this is the last sentence that he writes about Epaphroditus, to complete what was lacking in your service to me. This man risked his life to fill up in your service what was lacking to me. This man did something significant. This man did something amazing. This man was simply just one last chain in the gift of love that was running all this way to me. And it's amazing. Maybe you can jump to, Mackie, there's a slide. I'll get to that a bit later again. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Writing these two letters side by side, the letter to the Colossians and the letter to the Philippians, Paul uses the exact same phrase in the Greek when he writes about this. Listen now to this. Now rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, Paul writing from prison, and in my flesh, he says, I'm filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. If I were to start the service and I thought about doing that, was Jesus a sacrifice enough for you? Was his blood sufficient for you? Was his suffering enough? Is there anything else that you'd need? And theologically, you'd go, no, there's nothing more. We can't add to that. And Paul is saying, wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. Was it enough to pay the price? Yes. Was it enough to secure our provision before God? What is enough to do all those things? Yes, it was absolutely more than enough. Christ's sacrifice was absolutely more than enough. You don't need to add anything to it. But he says, I know one thing. It wasn't enough for you to know about the love of Christ, to experience the love of Christ, to experience his healing, to experience his fullness, to experience his belonging, to experience. It's not sufficient. The death, sacrificial death of Christ, his suffering, his teaching, everything happened 30 years after his birth, 33 years after his birth, a long time ago in a very faraway place. It's not possible for you to know anything about that was it not for Paul, in a very practical sense, for Paul today even, in these letters that we have? Or maybe for Ross, or maybe your mom, or maybe someone at work. Someone who cared enough to share something, not just the fact that Jesus saves you, but to share something of the life and the teaching of Christ because someone cares enough to help you practically, to see you in your need, for love to overflow from Christ to him. And this is exactly the same phrase that he uses for Epaphroditus. Exactly the same phrase. He says, listen, when I think about this man, the reason why I'm blown away by Epaphroditus, quite probably a slave of Lydia or one of the other wealthy people, quite probably a normal guy in church, a slave who didn't have something else to do. Quite probably a very practical guy. They said, we need the most practical guy to over. So let's not send an evangelist who will stop in every town preaching. Let's not send a prophet who will go shandai shandai and get excited about God and another mission. Let's send the most reliable, most practical, most simple-minded person. Practical guy. For God's sake, let's send someone who will simply do what needs to be done and take this bag of money with a few pieces of clothes to Paul in prison. Because what does Paul need from us now? He needs money to buy bread because he can't look after himself, and he needs warm clothes. So let's send this very practical guy over. And when he thinks about that description, he's saying, this guy nearly died for the work of Christ. And you go like, Ross, was it really for the work of Christ? I mean, it was for Paul, because Paul was hungry and Paul needed clothing. And probably someone else cared for him anyway in Rome, because he had people from the palace guard, from Caesar's household, looking after him. You can read it in the letter. Was it really necessary? Was it really for Christ's sake? He's saying, no. This is how Christ regards this man's simple act of love, simple act of service. Very, very perilous journey. And the guy got sick. He didn't get COVID on the aircraft. He probably got TB on a ship somewhere. And he was nearly to the point of death, but God had mercy on him. And he says, amazing thing. He uses the same phrase, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. Epaphroditus is highly honored by God because he practically simply brought love to someone else. Simple act of love. What did Paul need? And you'll see in this text, and I'll show you now, it's not just what Paul needed. It's what the church in Philippi needed. They were concerned for Paul. They were moved by God's Spirit for Paul. They had a sincere compassion for Paul. And God was moving in them, but God needed someone to simply just complete the chain. Simple act of chain. You know, of all the people in Philippi, I don't think Epaphroditus was the most significant, most spiritual person. And I know I'm reading into the text. I'm aware of that. But if you read about the people that Paul honors in the church there, you read about women, probably two women who were elders in the church, chapter 3, and they needed some help in their disputes and their peace. We know of the wealthy businessman in the beginning. We know of a lot of people in the congregation. And they're honored because of their spiritual service, their leadership, their teaching, and all those things. It's amazing. They are honored for that. But there's no greater honor that Paul does except for this one guy. And this is why I'm reading into the text that he was probably not the most wealthy, influential person in the church. The church in Philippi, the town became a Roman colony during a great battle. The Romans had a great battle there in Europe. And it was the battle that secured Caesar Augustus' reign as emperor over Rome. So Augustine, in his honor, said, let me do something. Let me do something to commemorate me becoming emperor about this battle. Let us remember this battle because this is important. And so he proclaimed that this colony of Philippi, he proclaimed it to be a Roman colony. So everyone born in year and everyone in it at the time became Roman citizens. And Roman citizenship opened up many doors and many rights and many privileges, tax privileges, judicial privileges for anyone in Rome. It opened up many doors. And so what happened was this colony became prestigious in its whole community because everyone had a status and a security and favor with the Caesar who called himself King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Great One. And it's amazing that everyone there. So many of the soldiers came to retire because of the privileges and because of the state and because of the beauty of the place. Many of the soldiers, retired soldiers, retired in this town, bringing lots of money and lots of nationalism for the Roman Empire right in this place. And you'll see that what Paul does what we read in chapter 2, the focal hymn of Christ, that see what Jesus did. Maybe you can just show this slide. See what Christ, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He's saying that although he was God, he didn't, like Paul, it was in the likeness of God, like Adam. He didn't do sins, Adam's sin, by thinking himself too important and deciding to make himself equal with God, ruling his own life. He says, no. Now, there's a slide about the Philippians chapter 2, the hymn. I think it's a... Yes, it's one with three narkis on top of each other. Though he was in the form of God, he didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself of his status, taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and gave him the name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, not Caesar, like everyone else in town. That Jesus, and he's saying, guys, this is the thrust of the message about this letter. And he brings in Epaphroditus as a key to this church to say, sometimes what we deem the least significant contribution is heralded by God as the most significant contribution. Sometimes what we deem as the most insignificant service in any community, and don't just think church, in any corporation, in any community, in any family, is regarded by God as the most significant and honored contribution. Because what? Because you're giving what was lacking in service, completing the chain of God's love to this person. You know, Epaphroditus was really important to Jesus because his servant Paul was in prison alone. And you see, Paul had a great affection for this church. There's so much in this letter, and you can read the text over and over, but there's so much bonding, love. We read that people were, he was concerned for the church. We read that he was longing for them. He was praying fervently. He was thinking of them with fond memories. He's saying, I'm longing to see you again. I know that you're longing to see me again. There was an intimacy. There's a relational intimacy between him and the church. And it's amazing that there was no prophecy from God, go to Paul, because thus says the Lord, take Paul some money. It was the love of the people stirred up by God for Paul and the affection for Paul that was necessary. And he made it possible, very practical. Epaphroditus was the man who picked up the money bag, went on a long, perilous journey all the way to Europe and gave them. He became sick along the way and nearly died. And God says, Paul says, listen, if you want to know who God honors, it's this boy, this man. I want you to become like him, because Epaphroditus became like Jesus. Disregarded his status and everything that was his. He got on a boat and did what was necessary to do. He did what Jesus did in the final night before his arrest, right before his arrest. He said, somebody's got to wash the feet. Can I be the one, please? Can I be the one? Can I show you what dignity is like? And the reason I'm saying this is because in our society, in our charismatic movement, and in our social status, becoming the most practical person in helping is not something that we aspire. We don't think about that as honored by God, significant by God. And Paul says, can I tell you one thing? I'm writing six stories around one poem in this letter. And this is what the Philippians is. It's six stories around one central poem. One central poem. The poem is, see how God became human, became slave, became crucified criminal, so that we can be put right with God, so we can be restored. See, this is what God is like. This is what Jesus is like. And Paul says, do you see me in prison? I'm doing the same thing. I'm happy to remain here. I'm happy to die here. I'm happy to... And he says, you know, that text just before this one, he's saying, it's amazing. I would love to die and just be with Jesus. You know, I want to ask you to put up your hands, but how often have you had, not suicidal thoughts, but just the happy thought of, I think an eternal break will be great right now. It's like, beam me up, Jesus. You do this, beam me up, Jesus, and Jesus doesn't beam you up. And Paul is praying for this. He's longing for the same thing. But Paul says, I have this mind of Christ. Can I tell you what this mind of Christ is? He's saying, I would rather the Caesar behead me. Nero, in this case. I would rather Nero behead me than to be released and continue suffering for the sake of the gospel. What is easier? He's saying, blah, beam me up, Jesus. That's the easy one. The difficult one is move to you from town to town through sickness and suffering, beatings, floggings, poverty. He's saying, you know what I'm going to do? I'm choosing that one because that is better for you. And he says, so let this mind be in you, which is mine, as in Christ Jesus. In chapter 4, he says, imitate me in this way. I have this mind. This is me. And he's saying in chapter 3, he's saying, I have the same mind. You know this about me. In chapter 3, he says, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a Benjamin of the status of Israelites. I was the most prestigious person, and I was so exceptional in everything what I do. He's saying, I'm counting all of those rubbish. He's using a very vile word there. Very vile. He's saying, I'm counting all of those things rubbish for the sake of knowing Jesus. And then he says, how do you know Jesus, Paul? He says, well, to know him, to become like him, even to go through his sufferings for your sake, even to the point of death. That's my choice. That's my option. And you know what? We're thinking of Paul always in these amazing preacher. I mean, he was the man who cast out demons, who resurrected the slave girl. He was a man who worshipped in prison so well that the whole of the prison shook. I mean, you know, it's a crazy story. His demons ran out when he was there. Dead was right. It's amazing stories. But Paul is saying, if you want to know what's really significant and what's really honored by God, it's this practical thing of filling up in my body what is lacking for you. Saying to take it upon myself to serve you in the need that you need practically. He's saying, that's why I think Epaphroditus, you don't think he's the most significant guy in your church? I want to tell you, he is the most significant guy in your community. Why? Because he's like Jesus. He's like me. He's like Jesus. He doesn't serve. It's amazing. Just before this, he speaks about Timothy. Just before this bit, when you read about Epaphroditus, he says, I'm sending Timothy to you as well. And he doesn't praise Timothy in the same way, but the one thing he says about Timothy, he says, Timothy, there is no one else like Timothy who sincerely carries your concerns on his heart above his own. And then he moves to chapter 2 where he says, let this mind be in yours in Jesus. Don't consider your own needs significant, but consider the needs of the others more significant about yourself. Let's just quickly, in summary, look through this text as a mirror, as a window, and as a door. How do we respond to this beautiful story of Epaphroditus? So move to the mirror. I think it's 2 or 3 up there. Thanks, Mackie. I know that I'm jumping a lot. My wife knows this about me as well. It's like a mirror to reflect. And I want you to think about yourself, and I want you to think about the people in your life. And if we can this morning, can we not just think about church and church life? Because many times we bring this text to church, but we're supposed to bring this text to life, to your work, to your household, to your family setting, to our neighborhoods. We're supposed to bring it to where we live. Firstly, it's so easy for me to identify with this text because he's talking about a simple act of service. It's a simple act of service. What is needed? Love is fulfilling the need of the other one. What is necessary for God? Fulfilling the... It's very practical. It's not deep. You don't need to be a to be deeply spiritual. You don't need to be deeply intellectual. You don't need to be smart, emotional about these things. This is the most simple. If you see a need to fulfill, he's saying, to fill up in my body what is necessary for you. I'm going to do the next practical thing. It's very practical, a normal guy. And I love the fact that Epaphroditus became sick to the point of death. The reason why I like it is this was not a super spiritual guy. He was not invincible. He's very limited in his humanity. Very limited. He's very limited. It's very practical. Not a super spiritual guy. He was just normal. I love in this story is a community who longed for Paul. Epaphroditus goes there. The community becomes really, really concerned about Epaphroditus because they heard he was really sick. And Paul says, I'm going to send you back. Why? It's because they really long for you. You know what I like about this? Some people won't like this. This is so practical. There is nothing about God says, the Lord commands. There's no instruction here of what God, there's no prophetic input here. What is godly here? This guy has a need, and you long to see those people. Let's do this. And Jesus' response is, I'm honoring this. This is beautiful. This is love in practice. This is love in practice. You don't need to be deeply spiritual about this. Do you long? Is there a need? Is there a longing? Let's do this. And then I love in this story, I think you read it when I read it in the beginning. You can go back again afterwards and read it. But he's saying, I'm so thankful that now at long last again, you have revived your concern for me. I love this. This church in Philippi got distracted with the mission of Christ, at least in Paul's life. They were the only church who supported Paul, only church who cared for him, the only church who loved, financially partnered with him. And there was apparently a long season in which they forgot, got distracted, got busy, focused on their own needs. And the mission of Christ and the partnership of Christ was forgotten. And the reason why I love it is because we can identify with this. We can identify seasons in our life when we're just on it, we feel on it at least, and seasons in our life where we go, we forget, we get busy, we have other needs. Jesus' big mission is not the most important thing in my life at this moment. My exam is the most important thing, or my kids is the most important thing, or I deserve my weekends is the biggest thing. And it's amazing. And the only way in which Paul responds is with great gratitude, applause, love, and saying, wow, it's amazing. God's going to reward you for this. It's beautiful, huh? Practical, real people. Real practical people. In which is this a window? How do we know something about the kingdom of God from this text? Well, God sees the Philippians' prayers and gifts as holy offerings. And sometimes we read over it too quickly, but I just want you to stop there. Using old temple language and also idol temple language, which the Philippians knew well, God regards this practical gift with a bag of money and clothes and a visit from a friend, visiting a prisoner, taking him some food. God regards this as a holy offering, as the highest thing that you can give to God. Not just for Epaphroditus, but for the church. And this is the height of worship. He's saying your prayers and this gift to this guy is a heart of worship. Why? Because you're doing it for one of the least of mine. Remember what Jesus said? I'm taking another sip because I'm thinking of that. If you give a pastor a glass of water, I think Jesus said, no? The least of these, if you give one of the least of these a glass of water for my sake, you did it unto me, it's worship to me. And this is practical. You give these gifts to him as holy. And God sees Epaphroditus, and this is the big story in this text, as honorable, as a brother in Christ, member of the household of God, a fellow worker, a fellow soldier, one favored by God, receiving mercy, and one who is like Jesus. And what did he do? We said it 50 times. He was a courier who took a bag of money because he cared for someone. Very simple. This is how God sees practical service, the practical things that you've done. And this morning, so how do we open up? How are we a door to this text? One with three narkis cut open. Thanks. How are we, this lemunena? Okay. How do we respond to this text? How does God see you and your contribution to the kingdom? Every practical thing that you've ever done as an act of love because of your association with Christ is honored by him. It means God sees it, God values it, God celebrates it, and God rewards it. We constantly compare ourselves based on the significance of our spiritual abilities. You know, I'm not as spiritual. And I know this because I'm a pastor, and the conversations I have is people always say, no, but I'm not as spiritual. And I'm like, you know, it's the most spiritual guy in this text? Epaphroditus. Why? Because he was a courier. And he's the one receiving the most honor in all of this letter. And the Paul says, when Paul speaks about his own contribution, it's not one preacher. He says for this one thing, I'm taking the practical steps to serve those in love and to tell others that Jesus loves them. Most practical thing. He has a heart to seek the kingdom. When God sees your prayers, I told you quite a number of years ago, I wasn't praying. Don't know why I wasn't praying. So I just told God in a prayer that I'm not praying. I'm saying, God, I'm not praying much these days. I don't know why. And I was sort of ashamed. Thanks, David, for the word. I was ashamed of not praying enough. And the next moment, the Lord just said to me, Ross, I know your voice. I hear you when you talk. And I just heard the Lord saying that I'm constantly thinking that I'm not doing enough. The Lord says, I hear you when you pray. We see what we're not doing well. He sees what we are doing, and he honors that. Every prayer you pray in sincerity, the Lord receives that as an offering. Every kind act that you do in practice, the Lord. We are bound by shame in our performance culture that says we are not doing enough. We are bringing our culture to our Christianity. The Lord is saying, I honor every practical thing that you do, and every prayer that you pray, I honor and I reward. The Lord honors sacrificial giving. Paul did not rebuke the church for not giving him enough. And I want you to read it from Christ's perspective. He is not rebuking the church for what they're not doing. He's honoring them for the gift that they do bring. And then he says to them, you really didn't need to do this. I was okay without you because everything that I have is from Christ. And I learned the secret of being content in what I have. But he makes such a big scene on three occasions in this short letter that you actually considered to send me a gift and sent it through Korea. Thank you so much. God really honors the sacrificial giving that we do have. And then the practical help, a man visiting another man in prison to help him practically because he couldn't do everything for himself, buy clothes, buy food, buy stuff, and he honors that. Also want you to see that he honors in this text the simple participation with the church. It's not as though Epaphroditus received a word from the Lord, got his own money and took it over. The letter isn't that. The letter is it was simply paying a short, small part in Christ's body. You simply playing a small part in the body is a gift to Christ. You're simply playing a small part in the body. And that's why, and you'll hear me say this a lot, but yeah, it is so practically. We always thank the worship team for their amazing contribution. But you'll hear us say this nearly every time. For Mackie doing the slides back there so the people at home can see what we're doing. For Matt doing the videography at home. For Dolph doing the welcome sign-in, we have to give COVID check-in. And for Willem doing the sound back there. And Lorita doing the camera work. It's practical things, but Paul would have written a letter about them, not about his sermon. Because it's practical things. And again, we're taking the example in church. I want you to think in your office. It's the same thing. Simple acts of service. Simple acts of service is what God honors. The next slide, Mackie. I'm closing and I'm concluding. In this letter, the reason why we have the letter of Philippians, my favorite of Paul's letters, the reason why we have the simple letter is because a man was willing to travel a few thousand kilometers, maybe not a few thousand, 1,000 kilometers, to take a bag to a friend in need. And Paul said, wow, when you take this man back, will you please honor and esteem him? Because he really became like Jesus, who sacrificed for my sake, that Christ may be known. Very practical. And he honors them for that practical service. Very practical service. How do we respond to that? Next slide. This week, to serve Jesus, to have a significant contribution to Christ's kingdom, the question is really simple. What can I do? Where can I partner with Christ to complete what is lacking in someone else's life? Very simple. Where can I show practical love and practical concern? And when I say it again, it is more significant than many other things that we think are significant. Prayers, prayer walk, Bible reading stuff. It's more practical than that. Father, we thank you for this very simple message. We thank you for the life example of Epaphroditus. I thank you, God, that you inspired Paul through your Holy Spirit to write this letter that centers on a man that emulated Christ in practical ways. And God, in our society, God, we always think that we're not doing enough. In our society, God, we're always thinking that to be spiritual means to do weird things, God, other things than what is most practical to us. God, and this morning, you said that we should honor such men in our lives. God, and I pray that this week you'll show us the practical Epaphroditus, the practical persons in our lives, God, the practical people who serves and makes life possible, who gets practical about someone's life, who talks to a friend because she needs someone, God, who talks to a married couple, God, going through tough times without having answers, but quite simply showing the love of Christ to them. God, we thank you for these people in our life. And God, we pray that you will help us to declutter and to demystify what it means to serve you in this world, what it means to partner with your gospel in this world. Will you help us, God? Father, I want to honor the people in church, God, that generously have sown for so many years. God, we thank you that we always have sufficient and we always have more to give away, God, because of people's sacrifices, because of people's giving to you. We thank you, God, that we always have more than enough volunteers to do practical things. We thank you that we always have more people that have more ideas to serve you, God, that we thank you for a church, a congregation, God, where people respond to your prompting, where people are responsive to your prompting. And I pray this week, God, that we will hear the Lord cheering us on when we act practically when it comes to someone's need. God, Holy Spirit, help us not become more spiritual than you. Help us to see the practical ways in which love can move and overflow. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.